This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and does not substitute for professional medical advice. Please seek a medical professional or healthcare provider if you're seeking any medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Thanks, everyone.
Hi, welcome back to Funny Medicine. I'm Evie.
I'm Julie.
And our episode today is going to be on
biohacking. You had brought this up.
I know. Did I?
Yes. You brought it up because I was like,
I know. Did I?
I was like, what the hell is that? And then you're like, oh, look, get into it, you know, whatever. And I did. I'm like, at first, when you said biohacking, it reminded me of the game Bioshock.
Yeah.
I was like, which was an awesome game.
Wait, but this must have been like a very long time ago because I don't remember.
Yeah. Okay. It was like a while ago. It was like in our list of things to cover or whatever. And you had told me about biohacking.
Guys, we have so much material.
I mean, it's medicine.
It's medicine. It's like always going to be an evolving thing.
We're never not going to have like
content.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. And we even had like our Patreon. Our Patreon has like a crazy amount of episodes too.
Yeah. We'll be slowly releasing those out, you know,
little by little
like that. But anyway.
But anyways, okay. So biohacking, what is it? So biohacking is kind of like a sometimes called DIY biology. Human augmentation or a do-it-yourself biology. It isn't about implanting computer chips into your brain or to download like Kung Fu skills. Or like me and Victor used to say, it's like just implant all like the medical knowledge instead of like reading and studying.
Kind of like what is happening with Neuralink.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So me and Victor always had a thing like a what would you do type of situation. Would you?
Uh-huh.
I think I've asked you this
before. Tell me.
Would you prefer,
uh-huh,
okay, to study or if someone had the opportunity,
mm-hmm,
to literally give you a blunt force trauma, okay, with a book, but that means that you woke up with all the information in
blunt force
head.
Trauma. Oh, immediately. Immediately.
You're exactly like Victor.
Yeah, immediately.
I don't know why. Like, I'm afraid of a blunt force trauma.
I don't want to waste the time. Just hit me across the head.
Yeah, just like knock you out for days.
I don't care. Do it. I wake up and I have a PhD. Sign me
up. We should have a poll on Threads. I want to know what the answer would be.
Sign me up.
I'm like afraid of a blunt force trauma, so I was like, no, I don't want to do that.
Not in the slightest. Let's do it.
If
I'm gonna wake up fine, okay,
I know
that's
what
a disclaimer.
Would say.
Oh yeah, because he's a lot like you. So I mean, I don't know.
What do you think he would say?
He'll probably be like you. Like maybe no.
I think Mario would actually take the blunt force. I think I'm the only weird person that would not take the blunt force.
Now this is my question though. Like, is it just a blunt force trauma, and then like, but I wake up fine, like? No, you know, CTE.
We don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I'll still take it.
Yeah. So if you knew, like, it wasn't like you're just, like, sitting here and someone hit you, like, you didn't know it was coming.
Yeah,
I don't know. Just the idea of, like, a blunt force trauma to
it's
the
even,
head, like,
it's even
me out.
Better. Like, I'd rather it like that I don't see it coming.
No. No, okay. You would know. Like, you
have to just sit there and take it. I'll still do it.
Oh, my God, no.
I'll still do it. I'll close my eyes.
I have this, like, thing that I can't. Like, a blunt force trauma to the head to me is so traumatic in my brain.
Oh, yeah, no, it's very traumatic, but, hey, saves years from studying something.
I want to know what people out there want to say.
It's either a momentary thing or years studying something. That's the thing.
I don't know if I could do it.
And you've been through it. You went through med school.
Okay, wait. How would you do this? Sorry, guys. This is a tangent already. I want to know, would you... I saw this on Threads one time.
Uh-huh.
Would you rather have a million cockroaches in your attic,
mm-hmm,
or know that there was someone living in your attic and you didn't know the person?
Okay, we're not allowed to ask questions about
the details of this. It's just if someone told you, you had to choose between a million cockroaches in your attic or an unknown human in your attic.
Human.
Me too. Yeah, I'm not taking the roaches, man. Nope.
No. Laying eggs in my ears and shit like that. No. I could become friends with the person, maybe. You know? I don't know. I'll give him a job or something. I don't know. I'll figure it out. We'll be buddies. I don't know.
Your sole job is to kill roaches.
Yeah. You see a roach, you fucking kill it. That's why you're here. Because I picked you over the roaches.
exactly. I picked you. So you need
your job now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Those are good ones. Those are good would you rathers. Huh.
Anyways, yeah. Okay.
As long as that person's not doing some weird shit of trying to like spy on me as I'm in the bathroom or something.
Damn, Jules, but that's like a lot of blunt force trauma. Think of all the books that you've read from.
Yeah, I know. I mean, if it's from every book that I've read from, I'm not waking up. I'm dead.
That's what I'm saying. Your biology book, your chemistry book.
Okay. Hold on. So, wait a minute. So that means like. Okay, because I misunderstood. I thought it was like a book and now you're a doctor.
No.
So it's that book.
Yeah, whatever book you are studying.
Slam it across the head and it's all in your brain now. Yeah. But it's that book.
That book only.
Oh. Okay. I was here thinking like.
No, just one blow and you're going to be a
lawyer, a doctor, whatever it is that you're going for college for. And that's why I was like, immediately fucking slam me across the head. Of course.
Put me in a coma.
You put me in a fucking coma. If that means that I'm waking up and I have a PhD or I'm a doctor, bro, right now, where is the, like, you know, where are the machines for it?
He's a perpetrator.
Do it, like, immediately.
Do you want me here?
Exactly.
You look at
I'll stare at you straight in the face.
Do it.
Just do it. I beg you.
Please hit me. Knock me out. I'm crying.
Okay. You went to med school. Tell me you wouldn't. If they tell you one.
I don't know if I'm going
to do it. Yvette, with everything you went through in med school.
I know.
And they tell you one swift blow across the head. One swift blow across the head with, hold on, with one of your favorite books right here with fucking letters. You're telling me somebody goes, fuck at that. And you're a doctor. You're telling me you wouldn't take it from letters.
I'm so scared. I can't, because I'm crying.
No question.
I'm crying.
For me, it would be no brainer, no question, no nothing. Like,
I'm so scared of things.
Like, dude, I'll do it to myself if I have to. Like, tell me I have to run across a wall and knock myself out and I wake up and I'm something.
I don't know why I'm so terrified of blunt force traumas to the head. It's like a thing. Like, I can't watch it. I can't see it.
Don't think about it too much, man. Just think about the end result. You don't have to, like, waste years of life learning something.
I'm crying. I'm crying. Jules is so brave.
No,
don't
dude,
you remember when we went to
the end result?
Don't
man.
You remember when we went to the zombie?
Oh my god, guys, we went. Okay, so this was in the beginning of our friendship.
That
okay,
is my like you know thing. Like all, I'm scared shitless,
bro. This was in the.
Don't count on me. Don't count on me on that front.
It's this, and mind you, she loves zombies.
Yeah, I do. I love zombies,
which is the strangest part of this all. Anyway, so we were in Halloween Horror Nights. The one and only time we went as all of us groups with like as a group when we were without children. I wasn't even married to Mario. This was
years
like
ago.
10 years ago, maybe, or something like that. I think
probably it was a very long time.
Anyway, we went to Halloween Horror Nights
before med school. We were all in college.
Yeah, we were all in college. Yeah. So anyway, we go there. We're going to one of the haunted houses. It like rides become haunted houses or whatever, like depending. One of them was like the zombie type of post-apocalyptic whatever what have you, and we're there walking with each other and we're like this, and then all of a sudden some guy pops out of nowhere, as they all have known to do the whole entire night. People have been popping out of nowhere. This wasn't anything new. Since the moment you walk through those gates, people are popping out of nowhere with chainsaws or make-believe whatever. It's the thing that happens. And where they're walking in the darkness and whatever, all of a sudden this guy just pops out of nowhere. What does this woman do? She just, what?
I throw Julie into it.
Throws me into the arms of this thing, whatever he was dressed up. I don't even know. And I'm just like, land, and I'm like, real life, I'd be dead. Immediately dead. To the point that the guy actually laughed.
Yeah, I know. The guy laughed.
The guy laughed. And his, like, horrible, like,
he couldn't keep it. Yeah, he couldn't break his character.
At least we did that. We broke someone from character. We broke him from character because he was not expecting me to throw you at him.
Fully into the arms of this person, into this character.
Survival, man.
After
Survival.
That, I'm like, I know who not to call. Don't call me. There's a zombie apocalypse.
Don't call me. I am that friend who will tell you, don't count on me. Don't count on me. Nope. Nope, because I have like an overdrive. I have an overdrive. Clearly. That's it. Yeah, I can't. I can't trust myself. I can't trust myself.
How the fuck did we land here?
I don't know, man. How from biohacking. Okay.
So back to what the episode's about.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so go ahead.
All right. So basically, biohacking is like experimenting on yourself to try and improve your biology, your health, your performance. It's kind of like optimizing your body and your mind and using a mix of like science, technology, and kind of old trial and error.
Yeah. What everybody's been doing thus far. Exactly. Pretty much. So... History. Just a brief and slightly sarcastic take on this one, because I mean, it's biohacking. There's not too much on it. So, anyway, so believe it or not, people have been doing biohacking for longer than what we think. So let's start in the 70s, right? So the 70s, we're going to be talking about the actual like OG biohacking.
Yeah.
And what is this? It's fitness and self-improvement. Okay, guys. So yes, biohacking is just you going to the gym and trying to like bulk up or thin out or whatever it is that you want to go there for, you know? Mm-hmm. Think about like when you're jogging, when you're reading self-help books, you're experimenting with diets, you know, all of that, whether you want to gain weight, lose weight, whatever it is, that's a form of biohacking. Mm-hmm. You're trying to change how you look like currently to something, you know, different. Fast forward over to the 20th century, the tech boom happened in the 20th century. So suddenly we had gadgets like our Apple Watches, Fitbit, sleep trackers, all these things that we could actually put on our bodies to measure things out.
I really want the Oura Ring.
What's that?
It's like the ring. I'm sure you've seen it.
Oh, yes, I've seen it. I've seen
it like tracks like all of those things.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't, but it's so expensive.
I'm sure it is.
So expensive.
All these things are super expensive. I mean, Apple Watches are super expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, what can I tell you? Anyway, so that kind of started the biohacking data-driven. In that data-driven way, you know? Mm-hmm. So now you could actually quantify like how much sleep are you getting, how much calories are you like potentially losing, all those things. People began tracking it with all these things, even your heart rate, and then due to that you could kind of like tweak and go, I want to reach this certain heart rate because then I could lose more calories, all those things.
And honestly, it's very interesting because it basically always puts you out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And it keeps you challenged every single time.
That's true. And it keeps you motivated too.
Yeah. Let's just say like an example that I have of that is the Peloton bike, right? I love my Peloton. And in the Peloton, you're supposed to do a ride first. Mm. And that ride, you're supposed to give it like 100%. Mm. Right. Mm-hmm. So you're going to dedicate yourself that you have to give 100% of yourself. So it measures, right, your...
What that 100% is for you.
What that 100% is for you. And then it has a bar at the bottom. So every other ride that you do, it tells you, like, you need to get into this zone.
Understood.
In order to challenge you are. So you're supposed to do that same ride every 3 months constantly, like, keep it updated.
That's cool.
But that's really great because when you go to have a workout, right, you want to work out so that you get results.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. There's a difference. There's maintenance, and mm-hmm. then there's bulking, and then there's shredding, whatever you want to do. Everyone is different. But it's so helpful to have that information because 100%. It's like you're not wasting time.
That's what I was going to say. It's a time-saving thing about it all.
If you're efficient, you're more
exactly. efficient. And then there's also that passive-aggressive like reminder that at least my Apple Watch gives me. It's like, hey, time to stand up. I'm like,
it's like the worst when I'm at work and I get that message.
And I'm like, I can't right now. So, yeah, thanks.
Or like when it tells me that there's like a loud environment around me. And I'm like...
Shut up.
Let me live.
Or when it tells me, it's like, you're not doing that great today in activity. I'm like,
like when I was a resident that literally at 7 o'clock in the morning, I was like, you've reached your step goals for today.
I'm like, well, shit, thanks.
Great. That means I've been working my ass off for the last, and it's only 7 o'clock.
I feel like my Apple Watch is like, I take it in such a like petty way. I'm like,
Thanks. You haven't reached it today. This morning hasn't been that great for you because it's like your ring's not that great this morning. And I'm like,
yesterday you were a little bit more.
Yeah. And then like I feel like every time it gives me a notification, I take it like that, like a little mean girl, like you know. And then like the other day when I like finally worked out again after all this move, like I haven't been able to work out, right?
That's all really good.
Oh my god, it was amazing. Anyway, but after that, it was like, oh wow, you completed this. And I'm like, yeah, I know, I finally did. Thanks.
Bitch. it's just my watch trying to be helpful, and I'm here like, bitch. Anyway.
Anyways. 21st century. So DIY, biology, and the rise of citizen science, right? So we're going to go into that. I'm going to give you an example of that, like at the very end of this, that you guys, if you haven't heard, you should hear. Thanks to the internet and cheaper technology, right? Because Apple Watches, even just the thought of an Apple Watch, maybe like 15 years ago, my God, that thing would have been. Exactly. So imagine that. Now we have a plethora of different types. It's not only Apple Watch, there's Fitbit, there's so many, like the round ones. There's so many companies that now do like their own versions of it. And they may be cheaper and more accessible, right? So then we saw when I heard this, I'm like, what the hell is that? It's a real thing. So the rise of self-proclaimed grinder biohacking. So what is that? That's people doing things like implanting magnets in their fingers or experimenting with gene editing in their garages. So like with CRISPR technology in their garages, a whole bunch of people are doing that.
What?
Yes. It's like people wanting to like implant things into their bodies to make them like enhance themselves. So pretty much like Neuralink, but people are doing it in their own, like with magnets and shit like that. I didn't know this existed until I was doing research for this topic.
All I can think about is a person going into an MRI machine.
Oh, no, they can't. They cannot. They cannot. This is where it gets a bit intense and sometimes questionable for safety concerns, right? Obviously. So then going forward to today, mainstream wellness and genomics.
Wow. Nutrigenomics.
See, I can't. I write it, but I can't. Biohacking is now less about garage labs as it, you know, kind of started in the 21st century, like I had said, and more like wellness, nutrition, supplements, smart drugs, those type of things. And that's very true because wellness is super trendy right now.
Yeah.
Super, super trendy.
You know, and I hate using the word trendy because I don't want to give it, I don't want to also sound like I don't believe in it. I actually feel like it's a good trend.
Right, but then there's
a lot of things that it's like, this is not real.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And, yeah, but it's also like, I do feel that wellness has been a trend, and I love that people are paying attention to it and changing their environment and 100%. Changing the way that they work things. However, unfortunately, like everything out there, there's always someone trying to fuck it up or take advantage of it.
Exactly, that's a word. Exactly.
But they end up almost effing it up because then it's like, I can't, it's like, is this real? Is it not? I'm always questioning something.
Exactly. That's how I feel about it, unfortunately, now, because it's like everywhere, like on all the social medias.
Yeah. But this is why Jules and I are here.
Yes. Anyway, so we're talking about like when you're trying to optimize like your microbiome, your gut, your sleep cycles. So that's what we're talking about now when we're seeing biohacking for the wellness now in today's environment, I guess you could say. And then there's companies that are selling personalized DNA analysis, right? So like your 23andMe's, your Ancestry.com.
I really want to do this already.
All those things. And then like, for instance, if you do 23andMe, like I had done, there's even like a version of it or like something that you could pay extra for. It depends on the package that you get, that it could tell you, hey, like within your genomics or within your DNA, within your past, whatever, there was like a propensity of this type of cancer or even not even cancers, like sleep. Yeah. There's people with problems with sleep or gut problems or whatever. And that's pretty cool. How accurate it is.
Yeah, it's hard because people aren't here anymore.
Exactly. But it's pretty cool to like at least even just know
think about it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then there's also, I'm sure that you've seen, if you have social media, you've seen it, like customized supplement plans, nutrition plans, you know, all that stuff. And it's just like, with the promise of unlocking your biological potential, pretty much. Like, exactly. Just make you better. And that's what biohacking is in an essence. How can you biohack yourself to be better?
Yeah. I love this. All right, so let's talk about a little bit of the different types of biohacking. Okay, so it's not just like one thing. There's different categories just to kind of like make it easier to organize. So nutrigenomics, okay? So this is all about diet and nutrition.
Yep.
If you have been here with us, you know that it's crazy to think how integrated diet and nutrition
But it's is. Also crazy to think how you guys, like medical professionals, are not...
We do not get any training on it.
That makes no sense to me.
So actually, when I was in medical school, you're so stressed, like, as a student. Of course.
Oh, my God.
And I wanted to do so much. But one of the things that I wanted to advocate for, I never did it. I didn't have time to do it, to be honest.
Yeah.
It was like, I did not have the brain space to do it. So props to people that get to do it.
Mm.
I wanted to advocate for medical students to have a science of nutrition.
Yeah.
In somewhere integrated into
their our curriculum. Learning.
We have biomed, we have genetics, we have physiology, we have all these things, but we do not have anything on nutrition and exercise. I think I maybe had one lecture with an exercise. Oh my God. Exercise physiologist, basically someone that studies exercise science and everything. I think I had maybe a 40-minute lecture.
Wow.
Maybe.
Wow.
Maybe. Yeah. And I actually still remember a lot of what this was 10 years ago.
Mm.
I still remember a lot of what this person said because it made so much sense. And it was so intriguing to me that I was like, I'm not studying science like just down to this like molecular level, which is obviously important. You know, when you're talking about science, but there's more of like things that we do on a day-to-day basis that is like really important. So that was one of the things that I wanted to advocate for. And I'm hoping that in the future it does change because, man, it's insane how sometimes I feel that I need to refer out to a nutritionist for something that's probably simple. But then again, I don't want to take away from the nutritionist world too. I mean, we're talking about a 4-year degree that these people have.
Yeah.
Yep. And clinicals that they had to go through. So their depth of their nutrition science is way deeper.
But that's like going to a specialist. Something.
Yeah, exactly. You know? It's like going to a specialist. Right. Exactly. But your primary care person should have this basic knowledge. And to be honest, we don't. If you do have that knowledge, it's because you have a personal interest in it. Like I have a personal interest in it. So I'm able to provide a lot of those things. But when it comes down to, you know, like
your basic really training.
Basic training, people don't have that.
And you know what's unfortunate is that, especially for primary care docs like yourself, that you're in pediatrics.
And I think that should be like, though, it shouldn't be for any science person. It should be for everyone.
Oh, 100%.
Like how we have to take a philosophy class.
Yeah, that's just dumb. That's
I'm just
dumb.
Like, so mandatory in my associate's degree, I have to take a philosophy course.
Yeah.
Okay. But you're not going to like teach me about nutrition and exercise.
Yeah, that's way more important and more relevant. Yeah.
Right? Or like basic financing in life.
Of course, economics.
Yeah, anything, you know.
Yeah. It's crazy. No, absolutely. I 100% agree. But like for specialties like yourself that you're more primary, right?
Yeah.
So like you that you're a pediatrician or like family or like internal, like, you know, you're PCPs, right?
Yeah.
As a PCP, you're going to have moments where nutrition probably almost every moment, if not like 95% of your cases or whatever, there's a nutritional like something involved. Yeah. Maybe.
No, that is pediatrics. It's my first five years of life is all about diet.
Exactly.
Nutrition.
So it's just absolutely bonkers to me. And then a lot of your patients are coming, like the parents are coming in with limited time, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to tell me that they already carved out that time to go to you. And then now you're going to tell them to go to nutritionists.
Yeah, exactly.
Most of the time, they're not going to make it.
No, and also most of the time in those 15 minutes, I need to address their concerns.
So exactly.
Their concerns, like for me, a concern might be like, what are you eating and stuff like that? But their concern might be something else, like, I don't know, constipation, which could totally tie into their diet and nutrition. Yeah,
exactly.
So,
but then they're going to you and then you don't have like that robust, I guess, would be like of training of nutrition.
Yeah.
And then you got to go ahead and refer out to a nutritionist. So then you're telling them, I have to go see a nutritionist now after having spent time here that I don't have.
Yeah, exactly.
Most of the time, they're not going to go.
Exactly.
Because they just don't have the time. And I get that. As a parent, I get that. Yeah. So you hear the word nutritionist and you're like, do I really need to go or do I need to like not lose my job?
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's boiled down to that. You only have X amount of hours that you're allowed to take off from work and you got to go to the doctor, right? Yeah. So it's like, and then the fact that you guys are not equipped with that just like,
doesn't
make sense to me. Like, it really doesn't.
We can tell you like healthy fats, right, this and that, but I mean, I'm sorry, that's not gonna get the message across. Mm-hmm. You know, like, mm-hmm, when I see an 11-year-old with high cholesterol and a pre-diabetes,
oh boy,
and I try to tell them like, hey, you know, mm-hmm, decrease this, increase this, blah blah blah, they're still lost. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. And it's as much as I would like to be like, okay, let me see you in about 2 weeks to see how you're doing, they can't come,
yeah,
so often. Yeah. So it's really like disconnected.
Yeah.
And I'm like a firm believer that education is what everyone needs.
Absolutely.
So I really feel like this should just be pushed in just basic degrees.
100%. And it doesn't have to be something so intense. It's just...
No, you just need to make people aware.
Aware of what they're eating. Exactly. You know?
How beneficial would it be if you went to high school and your kid was able to read a nutrition label?
I know.
You cannot tell me that you can have high school kids in physics 2 in robotics courses.
I know.
But they can't read a nutrition label.
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy to me. What I do like is that now we're kind of, I think it's going along with this whole wellness trend and whatever. At least in my kiddo's school, I'm really liking the fact that they're teaching him how to grow veggies.
Yeah.
We didn't have that as kids.
No, we didn't. We had like how to grow a sunflower, which is like a whole science to it too.
Yeah, I mean, my school sucked.
Right? But it's so nice to now kids can be like, we can grow our own things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He grew like in his STEM class, he grew, I think it was, last year it was a cucumber. Then this year they're doing, and other ones that I don't remember right now, but this year he's doing tomato, basil, and what was it? Something else like lettuce or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
And he's doing it. Anyway, so back to off the tangent.
Yeah, I know. Back to nutrigenomics. So it's basically based on the idea that your genes influence how you respond to food. Okay, we got into this because of the whole entire nutrition. Jesus Christ. Guys, our tangents. But this is, I love it. This is like,
at least a tangent.
Tell me that this is not a conversation with a friend of yours.
Exactly. I mean, isn't that what a podcast should be?
Yeah, exactly.
At least an entertaining one for me.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's not just like reading off of something.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. So basically, nutrigenomics. So this is all about diet, nutrition. It's based on the idea that your genes will influence how you respond to your food.
Right.
So companies do these DNA tests and they tell you what your optimal diet is. I think everyone has a general idea of what your optimal diet should be.
Yeah.
And more evidence is coming out. Check out our episode on omnivore diets
versus
carnivore diet. But anyways, so nutrigenomics, it's a real thing. And commercial tests are often enthusiastically interpreted. So yes, like some things can be a little bit exaggerative. However, I am a full believer, and this is a real thing, of epigenetics. Mm-hmm. So what your surroundings influence
phenotype,
the outward side of like your genetics. I'm trying to explain that in a non-medical
term. But I think that makes sense, and I 100% agree.
Yeah,
it has to do,
and I think medicine psychologically is, in the future, it's going to be all genetics.
Oh yeah. I feel like that's going to be like the next step.
Yeah,
and you see it that they were trying to do like CRISPR.
Yeah,
CRISPR technology is doing so great. I think, what is it for the kiddos? CART.
Yeah. CAR-T therapy.
It's amazing.
But it's, if you really think about it, it does make sense. So let's just say an example. I have a lot of Alzheimer's in my family, mm-hmm, right? If I do these genetic tests and it comes out as that I have the propensity of developing Alzheimer's, which I don't need a test to tell me that. I have a family history and I know that I have a risk, right? However, I should be tailoring my diet to things that will help me in the long run to prevent dementia. This is it.
Exactly.
This is a perfect example, right?
Absolutely.
Do I need a test, a DNA test, to tell me what I should eat? No, probably not. I think I can decipher the things, right? I can do that. However, maybe there's people that can't do that and would prefer to just have something laid out and be like, okay, I should be eating more of this and this and this.
Absolutely. And there's some people that just are more regimented and stuff like that than others. Yeah. You know, that makes sense.
the science is still evolving, obviously, yeah. and it takes a really long time. It's not something that, like, from one day to the next, you can just say, yeah, okay, this is it. These are years of things and people doing these kind of tests and seeing if that was really something that worked or not. It's still something that's evolving, and it's a lot of dietary advice that's pretty much, like, generic, we were just saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone has an idea of what they should be doing, more veggies, less processed, blah, 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 blah.
Exactly, exactly. But believe it or not, like, now it's become more mainstream in knowing. It's become, like, general knowledge that ultra processed and all that stuff is bad and all that. It's become, like, now common sense or whatever. But, hey, it wasn't really that, maybe even 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, people didn't.
Maybe less.
Maybe less than that. Yeah. People weren't even talking about ultra processed foods, period. Mm-hmm. Now it's become more mainstream, more known that, yeah, you should avoid that. But I'm telling you, back when I was a kid, not a peep about that.
Yeah, same.
So
same.
It's different. It just keeps changing.
Yeah. All right. So the other category is going to be DIY bio. This is the citizen science enthusiasts. People that are into this are often without formal or scientific training, which I think is dangerous. You probably shouldn't be doing that. Can conduct biological experiments, sometimes in, like, community labs or even at home. DIY bio can be amazing for democratizing science, education, and innovation.
Like, making it more accessible, I guess you could say.
Yeah. And then, however, safety and ethical concerns are massive, right? And also false information.
Oh, big time. Big time.
Because
if it works for you, it doesn't mean it's going to work for everyone.
Yeah. This is, I feel like this is how the vaccine hesitancy with autism link happened.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the biggest one was that publishing make-believe freaking article that happened in The Lancet.
Yeah.
That later on was
removed.
Removed. Because it was manipulated and false. And the guy made up the whole study.
Yeah.
Made up all the numbers. Yeah. Everything was proven to be completely fake.
Yeah.
For his own benefit. For
Or and maybe then, he truly believed, but it's not.
Like, but he made up the numbers.
He made up the numbers. That's exactly.
So it's a lie.
Yeah.
If you made up the numbers, you made up the statistics,
but it's a lie. The same guy is still going around.
Oh, yeah, I know, which is insane to me.
He's still doing interviews. He still benefits from his lies.
I don't understand how you could even listen to a peep that this guy says when he literally lied to everyone with numbers.
Yeah. Unfortunately, when people make that lie their reality, they will go to war for that, you know?
But you created numbers. They came out of
A lot of people don't know that. You know what I mean? A lot of people know.
Redacted is a word for you.
Yeah. A lot of people know more about the association of vaccines and autism, which does not exist. They know more that lie than the actual truth.
It drives me insane.
So have conversation with patients. I'm like, do you know how that came about? I wonder. And they're like, no, you know, people are always like, I just last week I had a mom tell their friends that they were going to get their booster shots, their 4-year-old booster shots, which is the MMR vaccine and the varicella vaccine. And you know what? The MMR vaccine is the one that's infamously linked.
Yep.
And the mom was like, does she need it? Because my friends freaked out when I told them that she was going to get an MMR. And I'm like, this is it. Like, this is this, like, fear mongering like this. Mm-hmm. And then I told her, I was like, this is what happened. And she's fine. She already had the MMR vaccine. She already had it.
Lord.
And also, you're freaking out about something that doesn't exist.
Exactly. It's just, it's so unfortunate what that
These are close people. Like, if I were to tell you something about my kid and you freaked out, I'd be like,
you would listen.
I would listen.
Of course. And that is what that article did. It sunk into that. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so pervasive, you know? And that's what drives me up the wall about this, that it's like, there have been so many studies proving against that, right? Against it. It's like completely false, right? We haven't done enough research on other things that may have a potential link to this.
Yep.
Okay. What the mom's ingesting, what is her environment, what is she exposed to? All these things, when we're talking about particularly autism, right? Yeah. I'm talking about just autism. Think about the medical history of both parents, mother and father, where that DNA came from, what is the history of that DNA making that child, then the environment of producing that child. What was that woman
eating. Eating. What was she exposed to? What was she working?
We don't know autism is exactly coming from. So we can't go ahead and say that it was vaccines. We keep on talking so much about microplastics.
Yeah.
What about if there's a link to that?
Yeah, and no one mentions genetics either.
Exactly.
I literally have patients that they are siblings, multiple siblings, all with autism. You are going to tell me that there is no genetic link there?
It's just, it drives me up the wall, man. It drives me up the wall because I'm just like, there's so many other things that are have a lot more of like a sway to that than vaccines that have been proven to be a no.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just so unfortunate. It's so unfortunate.
All right, so the next one, okay, is going to be Grindr biohacking. So this is the cyborg wannabe branch. So Grindr...
It's Grindr's, very odd.
Yeah, Grindr's aim to augment the human body mm-hmm. by using technology, so like implants and sometimes body modifications.
It's a Neuralink.
Yeah, so think like magnets, NFC chips under the skin, and even like experimental gene therapies, which out to me is like just like crazy. Like I think experimental gene changes, and I think of like Spider-Man movie when he like turns into the goblin, Green Goblin.
Oh my God, yeah.
Something like that. Or like Spider-Man, that he like turns into Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
Like gene hacking.
That's it, yeah.
So medical professionals generally advise against this, and I do. Okay, you should probably not be doing these things. You should not be doing these things. And basically, there's just a lot of things that can happen.
Yeah.
No, let's just talk about the most common thing, infection.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you're not going to turn into a spider. Stop thinking that. It's not going
to
happen.
Literally, the fall of humanity has to do something always like with some sort of infection. I can't even. Or like at least the majority.
Yeah.
Rejection, not knowing the long-term effects of things. So, you know, implanting magnets to sense electromagnetic fields. I can't even say that with a straight face.
Yeah. What? Yeah. It's there because I looked into it and...
lost me at magnets,
guys,
on your fingers.
Guys, you don't want to go down the rabbit hole I went down with Grindr biohacking. Yeah. Like, it's exactly what you think.
Yeah.
It's... Wow. Yeah. I'm just going to leave it at wow.
It's questionable.
It is very questionable.
And if it is not questionable, you are questionable.
It's worrisome.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so last but not least, right? I think it's last but not least. No. Okay. All right. So how about you do this one then?
Okay. So then you got nootropics and supplements, right? So this is a lot more. See, you should have fucking done it. Anyway. Supplements.
Nootropics. Nootropics.
Nootropics.
I like that. I like nootropics better. But it's not.
Anyway, so this is the brain boosting category, right? And you've seen it like on TikTok and everybody trying to sell you a supplement. It's going to make you feel better. You're going to have more attention, more energy.
I mean, one of these things are like caffeine. Of course, it's going to make me feel better.
Exactly.
Like, shoot me up with caffeine, you know? I know. Direct IV bag into me.
Exactly. So the brain boosting category, all that. So these are substances that are claimed to enhance cognitive function, memory, focus, and even motivation. So they range from caffeine, like she had said caffeine. Caffeine.
Chili is on a roll.
I've always said caffeine.
She always
Somebody had like, they've even like pointed it out. It's like, why does Julie say caffeine? I'm like, I don't know, man. I say words. Words just happen with me anyway.
I love you anyways, Jules.
Sure. And then you have L-theanine.
Theanine.
There we go. So it's relatively mild and studied to prescription drugs and that are used off-label. This is not great. It kind of like reminds me.
He like barged the door so suspicious. He was like,
I'm not supposed to do this, but I'm going to do it.
Well, he just wants to lay down.
Fine. If you're going to do that, that's fine. Well, because they left. So now he feels lonely. And then he's like, I need to be with someone. He is a lab at the end of the day. And you know, labs are Velcro dogs. Yeah. They need to be with someone. Anyway. All right. So you go from your relatively like caffeine, you know, those like very mild things to prescription drugs. And that reminds me of the Adderall.
Yeah.
You know, that's very, very much used to like off-label things. So it's like, oh, I need a cram for this exam. Let me take Adderall. Yeah, you probably should.
Yeah, I was going to talk a little bit about it now, but mushrooms, like, that is having a huge
moment right now. So
should we make
huge.
An episode on that? Do we have
an episode? We have an episode
on just... No, I don't think we have an episode on just mushrooms. I think we covered it in something
else. I think we did cover it on something else. I know we did. But yeah, you're right.
Maybe a Patreon.
I'll look into it. But yeah, I think you're right. Anyways, and these are stimulants, like I had said. And they're... And then you have also untested smart drugs, right? So they're like sold online. And these are like supplements that are in general just, I don't know, questionable. I would not.
Yeah.
I just would not. Anyway, vitamins and minerals, herbal extracts, and like we had said, mushroom powders to just optimize your health. Like lion's mane is one that's huge for like cognitive function. And then you have all these other mushrooms that are meant then. Since you have lion's mane for like cognitive, then you have another one that's like for energy. And then you have another one that's for focus. There's a lot of different ones out there. But anyways, but the effectiveness of all of these supplements are highly variable and often just poorly studied because they are most of the time, if not all the time, supplements are not FDA regulated.
Exactly. And I think that's where it's really difficult to see the results. Exactly. And it's kind of worrisome because, you know, I think people are like, well, why do we need FDA? It's like you need to know where your sources are from, how they got it, what they did with it, like how that production happened. Where did that production happen? Who did that production?
And because the FDA is not monitoring it, you don't really know if the exact quantity that it's listed there is actually in it.
Yeah, and you don't know the sources. Like a really good example that I give to this is like gripe water. Mm-hmm. I'm a pediatrician, so gripe water is like always discussed in my clinic. Right? Gripe water is like what you use for gas.
No, babies. I know. I used it before with MR.
Okay, so there are studies showing fecal material in gripe water because the water source that they use is
contaminated.
And that is not part, it is, gripe water is not FDA.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a supplement. So I always tell my parents, I'm like, it's not that the water that you're giving has like poop in it.
Right.
But how do you know?
Yeah.
You don't, right? Yeah. And it's something your baby is ingesting, right?
So it might make it worse.
So that's what I'm saying. So, and again, I'm not saying that all gripe water is like that. So don't come at me. But it is not moderated. And that is just an example of what we mean when something is not FDA.
My problem is when, since it's not FDA and these all these supplements, then you start taking a concoction of them. And then you start taking like 20 or 30 of them a day.
Yeah.
And then you don't know how they're reacting in your body.
No.
Because this is causing a chemical reaction in your gut. Because, oh yeah, I'm taking lion's mane for memory. And then I'm taking calcium. Calcium. Then I'm taking magnesium for this. And then I'm taking all of these things all put together are going to cause something different from what they are individually meant for.
Exactly.
That's my issue there. It's like, if you've studied chemistry,
then you know what I'm talking about. But if you haven't,
think about it. You're just putting everything in a pot and something different's going to happen there.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. It's like cooking, guys. Okay. If you're going to put salt in one thing and then you're going to put pepper and then you're going to throw in there sugar, that's going to taste different now.
Yeah.
Individually, those three things taste very different together.
Yeah.
I mean, separate.
Separate. Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Anyway. I could go on a very far tangent with that. But anyways, so there's the problem with this is that there's weak evidence and there's a lot of marketing behind all of this, right? So that leads you to believe in these supplements being like more useful than maybe that they are, you know?
Yeah.
And they're, like we had said, they're unregulated and, you know, that may be risky because then you are thinking about contamination and inaccurate labeling at the end of it. So then, lastly, you have lifestyle biohacking. So this is the least invasive and arguably most effective type. It focuses on optimizing just your lifestyle, right? So we're talking about like sleep, exercise, stress management, and mindfulness. So this is exactly that. It's less invasive. You could just add it to your life and help you de-stress, all those things that are just going to make you better without having to add something chemical to it. Yeah. This just aligns more closely to the established science-based health recommendations. Optimizing your sleep, your diet, and your exercise. We all know that is definitely good for you. Yeah. Exercise and all those things. For many years we've known that is just going to make you feel better.
Yeah.
And then tracking data of these things could be helpful. Just like we had said earlier, to personalize it. Maybe you need a little bit more in your heart rate. Maybe you need more sleep. All those things. So that's... honestly, I think the safest route when you're thinking about biohacking.
Yeah. So why the whole entire craze of the biohacking? Why are people doing it? What's so good about it? Mm. I think in a sense is desire for control.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. People want to feel that control of their health and like their results and their future.
And trends.
So yeah, influencers, exactly. Especially in a world where healthcare can feel a little bit impersonable, which is, I agree with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then
one of the reasons why we're doing this podcast.
Exactly. And then almost a little bit like reactive, right? If you go in and you're like, I can just imagine like someone going in and with an idea and then someone just shoots you down.
Yeah.
It's reactive, right?
Yeah.
Optimization of a culture. We live in like this like optimization obsessed culture. So the best version, right?
So true.
This guy that we keep covering, Brian.
We're going to cover him now.
Okay, yeah.
Because he is the epitome of biohacking.
Exactly. Epitome? Epitome?
Maybe.
Epitome. Have you really said epitome?
I think I said epitome.
Have you always said epitome?
I think so.
Is it epitome or is it epitome?
I gotta Google it.
Stop.
Oh God. I'm just gonna crawl into that pod now and bury myself under a tree.
Or I am.
No, I think it's probably me. Chances are that it's me.
It's you.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Epitome. Epitome. Guys, I may have dyslexia or like a speech impediment. I may.
Epitome?
Yeah, I may have a speech impediment.
Julia!
Yeah. You know. Yeah. At this point, it's got to be something diagnosable.
Can we just make a diagnosis already? Epitome. I literally heard you say that and I was like, have I been saying it wrong my entire life?
No, I have.
Okay, we have just discovered. Oh, wow, this is like breaking news level. Julia. Epitome.
I'm gonna like this. I'm gonna cut myself out now. Bye.
Bye. Oh my God. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Okay. All right, enough. All right, he's the epitome. He's the epitome of biohacking.
Yes.
Julie Brunette. Webster wants to shit on you right now.
Oh, yeah, they could. They could. They could shit on me. It's fine. I'll accept it. I deserve it. I deserve to be shit on by Webster Marion.
Oh, man, that has to go on the list. Where's that Reading list that we have?
Somewhere in that notebook. That might be for this future shirt that we're thinking of. That might be like just the big
we
one.
We have
in the front.
A plan of making a shirt of all of Julie's.
Which, check out our merch.
Yeah.
Check out our merch. Our link is wherever the description of this
yeah.
that you're listening.
But it's
going
to be epitome has to be there.
It'll probably be
vaginal
like right in the...
has to be there. Adolescence has to be there.
I mean, there's a whole list.
All right. So tech enthusiasm. I actually really love this part.
Yeah.
So a lot of biohacking has to do with like adopting technology to kind of see the body as another system, like upgrade and all of that.
Our smartwatches are pretty much
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the big pharma.
I can't blame it. I can't blame the distrust in big pharma. I really can't.
Yeah.
Because they've done some shit that it's just... And they want to keep you sick.
Yeah, I don't... Big pharma? Yeah.
I can't.
That's a complicated topic.
It's a complicated topic, but I feel... Okay, if we're talking about percentages, right? And good and bad of big pharma, I feel like they're 80 bad.
Yeah.
I'll give them the 30.
Yeah.
For the good stuff.
The 20, you mean.
Yeah. Wow. I'll give them that, but they're mostly bad.
Yeah. Big pharma is a big deal. And then conventional medicine. So this distrust of conventional medicine. I think because of big pharma and like them being so shitty, then it's like conventional medicine also it takes a hit too.
Because you guys have to prescribe it. It's like...
Yeah, and also not all... It's very complicated.
It really is.
So some biohackers are skeptical of traditional medicine, okay? But I can also reverse that. I'm very skeptical about a lot of other types of medicine that people bring to the table.
Yeah, yeah.
And pharmaceutical companies seeking alternative approaches. So this can sometimes be like kind of like embracing an unproven or like a risky method, which is the way that I see it, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So let's just say like big pharma, right?
Yeah.
Wise, right? I do not get paid by anyone to use something
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Unfortunately, people think that you are.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole entire premises of it, right? Exactly. So people think that I'm paid to do certain things. People think that I'm paid to give a certain number of vaccines, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And however, I will say that sometimes there are insurance companies that do give you a kickback.
There right? you go. Yeah.
That's not me.
But then unfortunately...
And I have been pressured mm-hmm. by higher-ups to do certain things. Mm-hmm. And I go like this to them.
Yeah, and it goes
and in, then I, and then yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. No, I get it, but unfortunately, due to the ones that do, mm-hmm. then people just group you all together.
Exactly. And so one yeah. F's it up for the other.
Right.
But anyways, this I do believe that there's science and evidence-based medicine, mm-hmm. and it's not everything is just this whole entire crazy yeah. scam.
Yeah, right? All to get you. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so longevity and anti-aging obsession, who basically doesn't want to live longer and healthier?
Of course.
Biohacking often gets marketed as a way to slow the aging and extend the lifespan, which... You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think when you limit stress in your life, you extend your lifespan.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of things that can extend my lifespan. However, people do use this to kind of sell yeah. certain things.
Oh, 100%. But for marketing, anyway. Yeah. So then you have biohacking goals and focus areas of biohacking, right? So then a lot of it is, like we've said, and I'm sure you've seen it in all levels of marketing and all forms of social media if you do like engage in social media. So you have improved cognitive function, right? So enhanced memory, focus, creativity, and mental clarity are big ones that they throw out there for you, right? Then you have increased energy and reduced fatigue. Come on. If you're above your 30s, if you're a millennial like us, you know that if anybody tells you, oh, more energy, less fatigue, you're in it. You're listening. You're listening. You're like, tell me.
Yeah.
So that means, of course, like what you would think, feeling more energetic, less tired throughout the day, all that stuff, right? And then enhanced physical performance. So better athletic ability, strength, endurance, and recovery. If, you know, you're really wanting to hit the gym up in the right way, then it's, oh, yeah, I want to do all those things, but I need more endurance and I need to recover better so I could keep going at it. And then what she had said, longevity and health span extension, living longer and healthier lives and delaying age-related diseases.
Yeah.
That's a huge one. And then, of course, improved mood and mental well-being, reducing stress, anxiety, and depression, and then just enhancing positivity, like your positive emotions and moods and all that stuff. Of course, sleep. We have so many episodes on sleep.
Yeah.
Better sleep quality is a huge one that biohacking is involved with. So optimizing sleep duration and the depth for improved rest and recovery. Not just sleeping, but actual good sleep. And then weight management and body composition. Massive. This yeah. is like a huge one. Achieving and maintaining a healthy weight and body fat percentage. So that's where I feel that's a huge one for smartwatches and all that stuff. Because you put on the gym that you're doing this and that, and it's telling you exactly, hey, these are the estimated calories. This yeah. is like your heart rate. This is all that. It's like perfect for it.
Yeah. All right. So is biohacking like everywhere? Basically, we're going to talk a little bit about the prevalence, like how much of it actually exists. Mm-hmm. Biohacking is definitely on a trend, right? But it's not the mainstream
right.
of things just yet. However, I do feel like it's on the up and coming.
Oh, yeah,
so obviously it's like trendy. Wearable tech. So mm-hmm. tracking fitness. Mm-hmm. This is like what we were talking about, the Oura rings, the watches, all of that. Supplements that we use. So a million people taking a bunch of vitamins. I do.
But it's very trendy.
It is very trendy. Yeah. And I think I've said it before. I do have an interest in certain natural
right.
remedies and things like that. However, I think that people take it to a completely different
100%,
level.
100%.
But anyways, DIY like bio and like grinders and like niche things. Anyways, these are more extreme forms of biohacking and are obviously relatively smaller communities. Mm-hmm. But they do get a lot of media attention and some, you know, I always say like some people have gifts
yeah.
for selling something.
Oh, 100%. They could sell ice to an Eskimo.
Exactly. And then personalized health is definitely the future. This is kind of like what we were talking about at the beginning of the episode, that
yep.
genetics, like epigenetics, mm-hmm. is going to be the future of medicine. And I truly believe that 100%. There's nothing better than personalizing, because we say it in every single one of our episodes. Everyone is different.
Yep.
And everyone responds differently. And I say that to my patients all the time.
Yep.
I think personalization of health and your future is going to be really big.
It's just the next step.
Exactly. It is the next step, and it should be the next step. However, that could be really difficult in itself. How can we personalize it? But we try as much as we can, right? So personalized medicine and tailored health recommendations is gaining a lot of traction in the mainstream of healthcare. Biohacking is definitely like part of that. That's going to be on the upswing.
Absolutely.
And basically, I think how that's going to go about is wear this, right? Bring back that information to me.
Well, you do that already with the sleep.
Yeah.
My mom just did it for her CPAP.
Yeah.
It's no longer, at least hers, she didn't have to go and sleep overnight somewhere.
Yeah.
She just had to wear it here at home.
Here, yeah. It's usually done at home, but sometimes there are sleep labs.
Exactly. And then there's the EEGs, the ones that you take home, or you take home and then you have to wear them for a certain amount of days. There's so many of those already, you know, and they've been around for a bit. Anyway, so navigating the risks of biohacking, right? Because we've talked about there are some sketchy things out there, right? Do your own research and make sure that it's science-based research, okay? Not just like it was a TikTok person told you and then you're following it.
Yeah.
So don't believe everything you read online, especially from unregulated sources. Look for science-backed information from reputable medical and scientific sources, like New England Journal of Medicine, JAMA. Like,
yeah.
Reputable, robust, like, places that have backing. Start slow and simple. Begin with lifestyle biohacking, like we have said, better sleep, better diet, those things that are easier, more just better to integrate into your life and your diet and all that stuff. These are low risk and have established benefits.
Yeah.
Of course, consult your healthcare professionals. Talk to your doctor before making any significant changes, like a diet or starting new supplements or considering more invasive biohacking methods. Especially important if you have pre-existing health conditions, please, or you're taking medications because they do interact and it might not be for the better. Be skeptical.
You said it right, skeptical.
Oh my God. I'm now guessing everything that I say. About these miracle cures or the hypes that you keep seeing or reading online, because if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. So be wary of products and practices that promise dramatic results without actual solid scientific evidence to back them up. And of course, prioritize your safety. Avoid your DIY biohacking and grinder practices unless you have extensive training and you have a safe, controlled environment, which many of the times when we're talking about like the grinder biohacking, unfortunately, it's just done in these garages and
exactly.
Just be careful with that. The risks of infection, injury, and unknown long-term consequences are real. And lastly, ethical considerations. Think about the ethical implications of biohacking, especially more extreme forms. Are you comfortable with altering your body in potentially irreversible ways? Okay. And what are the social implications of human augmentation? And that leads me to believe of when you're augmenting your body and like implants and stuff like that, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah.
So these are a little bit just like interesting and like trending biohacking tidbits that we just came across. Microbiome hacking. So the gut microbiome is a huge hot topic.
Yep.
One of our hottest episodes.
For sure. For sure. It makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. People are experimenting with probiotics, prebiotics, and even fecal transplants. Yes, poop transplants. I just said that.
Well, we did a whole episode
on it. We did a whole episode on it, yeah, to optimize their gut health and supposedly everything to boost your mood and immunity. Longevity clinics and biohacking retreats are another thing. High-end clinics and retreats are popping up after, like offering personalized biohacking programs, often like really expensive. And think that personalized IV drips and genetic testing and consultations and these longevity experts, I don't know, that's all propaganda to me.
Yeah.
Because why is it so expensive? If you're like always pushing for something to be important, like why are you making it so inaccessible?
Right. And then you have to put it in a form
inaccessible, of... inaccessible? Not accessible. Yeah.
And then you have to put it in a form of like an IV bag, which is obviously inaccessible, not accessible.
Yeah, not accessible. Exactly.
Right. To the everyday consumer. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then the ethics of it, of a human enhancement, it's also like biohacking becomes more like sophisticated. So like ethical questions are always coming up. Mm-hmm. Should we be trying to like enhance? I don't think that there's anything in the magnets. Yeah, no, that's not. I don't think that you should be doing that. But like a healthy diet and exercise and maybe like a Fitbit or something like that. I don't think that there's anything really wrong with that.
Exactly.
But biohacking for mental health, there's a growing interest in using biohacking approaches to kind of like do neurofeedback. We should actually do an episode on this. It's super cool. It's something called biofeedback.
Oh, okay.
And it's used in medicine.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so it's really, really interesting. I didn't know about it until I went to residency. It's kind of like a therapy, but it's like the... You'll see. We'll do a whole entire episode of it. It's actually super interesting. I don't think it's pushed enough, but it should be. But anyways, brain training apps, all these things that is kind of going to be like biohacking your mental space. It improves your mental health, treating conditions like anxiety and depression. And then obviously if you treat anxiety and depression with these like biohacking methods, then that's going to lead to other things, like kind of like this like cascading event. Exactly. Yeah. So...
yeah, that makes sense.
That was biohacking.
Yeah. It really, really opened up my eyes to a lot. If you guys want like a perfect example of someone that took biohacking and ran hard with it, just Google Brian Johnson. We did an episode on him a long time ago. We probably should do like a refresher one, just like redo that episode.
Yeah.
Because he is his own guinea pig when it comes to biohacking. He's what it is. He's just a great example of that. I don't know how I feel about it because he takes it to a very, very far extreme, but at least we'll get good data from him.
Yeah,
exactly. You know? But yeah, biohacking is something really, really cool. And I hope you guys like this episode.
Yeah, we hope you enjoyed it.
Check out our merch.
Yes.
Please. A lot of new merch is coming up.
Love it.
Maybe by the time this episode comes out, I already like published what the new merch is. So check that out. And keep doing everything you guys are doing. Follow us on all forms of social media. We're there in Funny Medicine Podcasts. Let us know if you guys want us to talk about something in specific or anything like that. We are totally open to that. We love that, actually. And yeah, thanks for tuning in. And we'll see you in the next one.
Bye.
Bye. Like, comment, review us on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, etc.
Check us out on Instagram and TikTok at Funny Medicine Podcast or gmailed funnymedicine305@gmail.com. And remember, we are not diagnosing you.
Definitely not. Just funny stuff.
See you later, guys.